last online only Wednesday night Bible study. That's right. Next Sunday, we've been announcing this now for a couple of weeks. Next Sunday, everything will be back open again. We'll have Sunday school here at the church at 9:30, morning service at 10:30, and yes, choir practice before the evening service. And the evening service will then be at 6 o'clock. And then next Wednesday, we'll all be back in here so we can pray together as well as study the Bible together. I'm looking forward to that. Much to be thankful for. A lot of praises. A lot of answers to prayer. Just ways that we've seen God working in the lives of many people. Yes, and there's been some sad times as well these last couple of weeks, and appreciate if you would continue to pray for those folks that have had to endure the loss of a loved one in the last week or so. So just being in prayer for them, continuing to do that, and then also many others from our family that are still recovering from the effects of their bout with COVID, and I know they would appreciate your prayers as they continue to make little steps. A big praise, which is Charlie Yonk, just an amazing turnaround from where he was at this time last week, and then all of a sudden, Sunday night, it was like, not like, I'm sure it was God that just said, okay, y'all have been praying for this man. And he pressed a button and his condition immediately turned and started moving in the improvement direction. And it's still moving in that direction. And we're just praising God for that. Little steps, but they're steps in the right direction instead of no steps at all in that direction. And so we're certainly thankful about that. Also a praise, Odessa is making steady progress. She's still in the hospital, but making progress, as your prayer bulletin says. And then Sandy is praising the Lord that her family is doing good while they're going through COVID. And there were some serious potential complications with that, it was some of her family members, and we're just thankful that everything seems to be going along. Sandy, it says there, she just can't praise God enough, and we need to rejoice with her. So continue to pray for those people. Also, we have in the bulletin tonight a prayer request for our son, Kathy and I, our son Jeremy. Next Monday, he'll be having surgery on his knee. It's, I guess, somewhat of a newer procedure that if it's successful, it will eliminate him needing to have a knee replacement. And so we're going to be much in prayer for that. After the surgery, he's going to be laid up for quite a while, and then several months of therapy after that. So just please keep him in your prayers, and the doctors and all of that goes into a situation like that. Well, we're going to set those to the side, and let's go ahead and jump right into our Bible study tonight. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the way you display yourself to us every day, and we miss so many ways that you do that, just through nature, but then also through the ways that you work in our lives. And thank you, God, for the answers to prayers. Thank you for this miraculous turnaround with Charlie, and showing us that, yep, you're in control. We thank you for that. God, help us tonight as we continue to study your word, that your spirit would give us an understanding of the seriousness of these things that we've been talking about. And again, I ask, God, for on behalf of everyone that's not here, that's in their homes, live streaming, that you would just cause them to just take a quick moment to intentionally eliminate the distractions that are there when we're not here, And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're talking about skepticism. Are you a skeptic? Are you skeptical? Is that good or bad? Well, the answer is yes, it's both. It's both good and bad. Let's just back up real quick. We've talked about naturalism. And if you remember, naturalism, that way of thinking, leads to an extreme confidence in science, okay? Prior to that, prior to modernism, go back to pre-modernism, which was the way of thinking for hundreds of years, hundreds and thousands of years, it was the sources of truth were God, authority, observable things, common sense, science, those types of things there. And over the decades, as culture, people have evolved through different ways of thinking, different schools of thought, those sources of truth have slowly been getting kicked out. And even with naturalism, it's science. It's just science. God has been removed as a source of truth. So tonight we evolve now, or maybe slide over into this other way of thinking called skepticism. Modernists say that if we can't be absolutely certain about everything, then we're going to doubt everything. And so we have skepticism. Now, think about this. Just consider the Bible. How much of the Bible can anyone prove without a shadow of a doubt? Well, I would say much of it can't be proven in a scientific sense. So modernism says if we can't be absolutely sure about everything, then we're going to be doubting everything. And now that slides into skepticism, doubting everything. Let's go with a couple of definitions here first, and I think I have that in your notes, your outline for tonight. Let's just take first a very basic, generic definition of a skeptic. Okay, here it is. A person who questions the validity or authenticity of something purporting to be factual. So simply put, it's this. I tell you the sky is red, and you are going to be a skeptic and doubt the validity or authenticity of that based on me saying that it's a fact. Now, it's just a very simplistic definition of skeptical. The term that we're looking at tonight, skepticism, deals more with a way of thinking, not necessarily an action we do. And we'll be talking about both of those tonight, because you remember I said being a skeptic is good and bad, all right? The term skepticism deals with more than that. It's this way of thinking in a person's approach to life, and it also deals with the extent of skepticism. So here's our definition for skepticism: universal doubt of all truth. Now, let's consider some implications of that. A healthy dose of skepticism is not bad. Let me explain what I mean. Because, in fact, we're commanded to be skeptical. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul is referring to the Bereans. He's saying these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And Paul commended them for this. In fact, they were called noble for not believing everything they heard. just because Paul was a famous preacher, if he were alive today, maybe his own YouTube channel, books, blogs, interviews, all those types of things. Just because Paul was a famous speaker, they didn't just swallow everything he said as truth. They filtered it through known truth, the Bible, to see if what he said lined up with God's word. I once watched a video of an interview between a famous speaker, a famous pastor today, being interviewed by a secular interviewer, and they asked him about sin, homosexuality, is it a sin? And his response was, you know, I really don't feel that I can say if that is or not. And millions of Christians follow this speaker. They think he's wonderful. They're not filtering what he says through known truth, the Bible. Now, folks, this is important for our children or our grandchildren. First, we need to be able to filter things for them, especially when they're young and they don't even know how to tie their shoes. We need to be able to filter things for them. We have to be able to do this. And if we can't, then we need to begin working on that. That's why we're doing this series. But secondly, we won't always be the ones presenting ideas to them. They need to be able to discover, they need to understand how to discover truth themselves. They need to be taught how to do that. Folks, we need to understand how to discover truth so that none of us get swept away. Consider this verse, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's just what we're talking about. Skepticism says this: if it can't be tested in a lab, then it can't be true. Okay, so where or what do you suppose that targets? Well, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the Bible cannot be tested in a lab. Therefore, it cannot be true, skepticism would say. How about this? How about miracles? Those ones we see in the Bible. Those would be the first thing to go, wouldn't they? There's no way we could test that in a lab. And scientific method dictates that it has to be reproducible. So now follow this progression. We throw out miracles. Miracles can't be tested in a lab. In fact, what we know of science today, if that were our only source of truth, it would refute miracles. Once miracles are now dismissed, you've done away with Christ's resurrection. The miracle on which the entire gospel hangs. And once you've done away with Christ's resurrection, you've done away with Christianity. You've done away with salvation. This is why skepticism is closely tied with atheism. They're just kind of a half a step apart, and in some cases they're joined together. Folks, atheism is immersed in our culture. And not just our culture. Atheism is immersed in our online culture. You know that culture. okay, the one that we access through our electronic devices, the culture that your kids are immersed in as they do research for school papers and projects. Atheism is immersed in the online culture for all of us, even us as adults, when we search for an answer to any question that pops into our head, we'll just go to a website and type it in. So we have to be able to recognize the message of skepticism, or messages. Here are some of them as we recognize the message. First of all, if you can't know everything for sure, you can't know anything for sure. Now, that's just not a summary statement of their ideas. That is a stated message of skepticism. They would say, we can't say there is no God and there is no afterlife, but we can't say that there is either. And it's just kind of this noncommittal, persuasive sounding statement that is skeptical at its root. How about this one? Religion is child abuse. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but if you just Google it, you'll find religion is child abuse. You'll find all kinds of websites and articles that address that issue. One very famous atheist, Richard Dawkins, he says this about religion, okay? The damage to a child from sexual abuse is less than the damage caused by raising a child in a religious environment. That's what's being taught out there. And that is ludicrous. That belief could never be found in a church, right? But it already is in some churches. Imagine that. A children's pastor explained why she doesn't use the phrases Jesus died for you or your sins. She doesn't use them. And she explains why. She says, while I realize that statement won't psychologically damage every kid, if it damages one, it's not worth using. Really? You don't talk about Jesus dying for us, this greatest act of love ever. You don't talk about our sins, the reason Jesus died for us, the reasons we need a Savior. What is that church all about anyway? Hell would be another belief that would be considered child abuse. I mean, because that would scare kids, wouldn't it? Oh, hell is a pretty scary place. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that with kids. Wait a minute, folks. How would you respond to that? Hell is a real place. It's kind of like a dark street in a crime-infested area. It's a real place, okay? There's no doubt about it. It's a real place. What would we do? We would warn our children about the dangers of being in that real place after dark. Folks, that is not child abuse. That's love. Here's another statement. Man is not just equal to God. Wow, look at that. He's better. Okay, let's consider a passage of scripture from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Okay, Satan's original sin was pride. To be like God. Today, the narrative actually goes past that to say that we actually are better than God. I mean, if you look at God in the Bible, they would say, he was angry, he killed a lot of people. We have evolved past that. We are better than God. We are more compassionate and more loving than God. Another message, belief in God is some sort of wish fulfillment. Now, here's what's meant by that. They say that what Christians hold to be true is really what they wish to be true. In other words, God is just a crutch. In fact, Richard Dawkins, the atheist, compares it to believing in Santa Claus. And they would even claim that religion keeps people from asking questions. Now, I would disagree with that. We should ask questions. Blind faith is no faith at all. Now, think about that. Blind faith, what is that? I have faith. Why? Because I was told to have faith. That's not faith. I think we're seeing the effects of that, of blind faith today with the numbers of young adults that are leaving the church. They're not really leaving the church. They were never a part of the church in many cases. It was never something that they were shown to believe. They were told, this is what you need to believe. Or they were told why to believe the doctrines of Christianity. And it was a blind faith. Healthy skepticism, it's a good thing. And it should be encouraged. We should be skeptical enough to see through the lies that are wrapped in partial truths. Not just the lies that are out there from the world, okay? But the lies and partial truths that are found in religion. I mentioned the famous pastor and his views on homosexuality earlier. And erroneous views on many other topics as well that are woven in with other truths while he's speaking. I was at a funeral once, and the minister standing up in front of everyone, the grieving family, the departed loved one there next to him, and he said, and it was so sad, he said toward the end of his talking, he said, folks, I got to be honest with you. I really don't know what happens when we die. I don't know if we go somewhere. Is it a real place, or maybe just our spirit stays here on this earth in the lives of other people that are still alive? And there he was in his black shirt and white collar saying he had no clue what happens after we die. There's probably some skepticism in there. This was a Protestant minister from a denomination that used to preach the gospel. In fact, some of you, some of our family here, I know were saved in that denomination. I really don't know what happens after we die. Skepticism, it's crept in. And we need to be able to see it, filtering it through the truth of God's word. Now, and that's why we need to be healthy skeptics, okay? Unhealthy skepticism, that is a demand to know everything. That, you know, there are things in Scripture and in our world that we won't understand for numerous reasons, okay? Some of them may be because we just don't have the capacity to understand those things. But this is especially true when it comes to the problem of evil. We don't fully understand evil. I don't think we will ever fully understand evil and trying to explain it, why it exists, okay? We are not omniscient, all-knowing. Only God can be that. We will never fully know the mind of God and why he allows certain things to happen. Sometimes, as I have found, while I didn't understand why something was happening in that moment, I later had clarity because of what I had learned from it. So we will never fully understand everything. Now, there's two responses to that as Christians. And I hope there's no distractions going on right now in your homes. We'll never fully understand everything. So we could respond two different ways to that. Because I will never fully understand everything, then I'm just going to stop trying to understand anything. And what happens? Eventually, we understand nothing. Because I will never fully understand some of these concepts, I'm just not even going to try at all. And our mind goes dark, and we understand nothing. This is why we're doing this series right now, focused on knowing what we believe, why we believe it. So that's one response we could have to realizing we'll never fully understand everything. We could just stick our head in the sand and then understand nothing. Or we could continue to search and look for answers. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Now, believe not every spirit. Be a skeptic. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, through the filter of the word of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Christianity does not discourage asking questions. Christianity invites healthy skepticism. Think about it. We want our kids to be skeptical when someone tries to feed them an idea. In fact, out of all the world's religions, Christianity, I think, is the only one that invites rational skepticism, as opposed to other religions that consider it blasphemy to question their teachings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, again, Paul says, "Prove all things, and then hold fast to that which is good." He's saying, test, prove all things, until you can recognize what is good. And once you recognize what is good, hold fast to that. And then Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We ask questions from the source of truth, the Word of God. And we need to know and understand that truth. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, as we close this time tonight, God, I pray that each of us would realize we need to be asking questions. We need to search the Scriptures. We need to know what truth is. Help us, Lord, on that quest. Give us the knowledge that we need as we need it, as we're applying ourselves to get it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for joining with me tonight. I look forward to seeing all of you Sunday morning, 9:30 for Sunday School.